Hey, good morning, Saints. I know you're expecting to see my thin self behind the pulpit, but I'm actually in a pulpit on October 10th, but I'm in a pulpit in North Carolina. And so today, for you, we're recording this ahead of time, and I'm here at my desk in my office, and but it doesn't change the message, and it doesn't change my heart for the day. And I'm excited to be with you. I'm excited to share with you. And just to bring you up to date, the day that you're seeing this is October 10th. But on October 13th, since we have one of our pastors filling in for me, we're going to do a special presentation of his message. And his name is Pastor Don Shipley. He's our veteran on staff, and not just because of age, but because of ministry. And he's been a great dad for many sons and daughters in the Lord. And he's got a lot of wisdom, got a lot of Bible knowledge, and I know that you're going to enjoy him. And so Wednesday on October 13th, be looking for a special presentation of our little broadcast to go out, and you're going to be touched, you're going to be blessed, and you'll be very, very excited to hear his many years of wisdom and his Bible knowledge. And so he's got a special message that he's preparing for you. And so today, I'm sharing with you something that's been on my heart for a while, and I got this down, the beautiful blonde got it ready for me to share, but it's a concept or a mindset that's in the world that has sneaked into the church. And so I want to expose that, but I want to also encourage all the saints that we don't have to be limited with a world mindset. And please don't let this be in the church, okay? We have a way, even as God's people, of limiting God. And you say, well, God's almighty. Yes, he is, but he really wants our cooperation. And so part of what I'm sharing with you about today is that the worldview that is sneaked into the church is a shortage mindset. And the world has the shortest mindset. In other words, they see lack. The first thing they notice is lack. If I had a glass here, and you know the old saying, half empty or half full, well, the world sees an empty glass. And they see a glass that's diminishing in supply. And that's the first notice that we have. And I actually think it goes back to the fall. And instead of seeing God as our ever-flowing supply, we see lack. And so it's a normal mindset of people without God. But what I'm sharing with you is that people of God, we don't have to have that mindset. We're to see God as the great I am, because that's who he is. That's what Jesus is. He's the great I am, it means that he's just more than enough of whatever we may face. He's more than enough. And one of the beautiful things about God, and we even see it in the garden, is that before there's ever a need, he's already provided supply. Is that great news for you? I hope it is, because I know that, you know, we face, especially in this world, you see it put on us 24/7, that there's lack, there's scarcity, there's want, there's undersupply. We look at the small, the inadequate, deficiency, it's insufficient. There's never enough, so to speak. And we're always needing more. That ought to ring somebody's bell somewhere. And it can be in all kind of areas. For example, food, money. A lot of people in our generation see this as far as safety. There's always a concern. And I'll just tell you, you can tell by the songs that are out there, seems to be a lack of love out there. And I just want to announce to you that there's not. And for God's people, we have more than enough. As exactly, I'm sharing with you that the lack of shortage mindset is not a true reality. Okay? It may be a fact in some places, but it's not a real reality, a spiritual reality. And that's how we live, because we have him as our shepherd. Good news. If you know Jesus, he's your shepherd. And Psalm 23:1 is very, very true, and it's true for you today. And it's, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, I pray the Lord is your shepherd, because it's a great privilege and a joy to be a part of his flock. And we always have something to celebrate and to give thanks and to enter his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. We're thankful unto him, and it's a privilege and a joy to be a part of his flock because he cares for his own. Special care for his own. And the Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd, and it's his responsibility to feed us. That's what a shepherd does. It's his responsibility to guide us. That's what a shepherd does. And so we don't have to fear tomorrow because he's guiding us. Our part is just to follow him. Amen? And it's also the Lord's responsibility, a shepherd's responsibility, to shield me. It's his part to guard me and to protect me. Amen? And so that's a joy. And the Bible says we shall not lack. In other words, there's not anything that we need when the Lord is our shepherd. And so I just want to encourage saints that we have the blessings. And the New Testament's very, very clear that because of the works on the cross, not only did Jesus pay for our everlasting life, but he paid for abundant life right here in our everyday life while we're still on earth. Even though it's a fallen world, we live by the kingdom and not limited by the fallen world. Amen? Isn't that a great thought? And so we have his blessings through the finished works of the cross. Now we're going to take a fresh look at the Gospels. There was never any shortage when Jesus was present. Boy, let's think about that for a moment. Jesus flowed in abundance in every way, everywhere he went. And it was often by the way of miracles. Now you say, well, I don't know about miracles. Well, the Lord does. Miracles are his business. And so it's our joy and our privilege. And let's just take a fresh look at Jesus. And I encourage you to take a fresh look. Sometimes we get a mindset of what's been told us in the past and what we've done in the past or what we've heard in the past. But I want you to take a fresh look at Jesus today. This is out of Luke chapter 5 and verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon Peter, "Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a haul." And Simon Peter answered, "Master, we have toiled all night, exhaustingly. We've given it our best all night long." And boy, there's a lot of people who can say this today. We've done our best and we still have an empty bag. We still have an empty net. Boy, we could say that, couldn't we? And Peter told him, "But we've caught nothing all night long. But on the ground of your word," and I love it that he said that because it was almost like, you know, "Now, Master, you're the teacher, I'm the fisherman, I'm a pro, I've tried the fishing ain't working today, it's not a good day for fishing, you do the teaching, I'll do the fishing." But you know what? He responded in his heart. And even though it wasn't maybe with a lot of enthusiasm, I want to tell you, the Lord takes your yes as faith. And so that's a great, really a definition of faith, expression of faith, is our yes to God. And so I'm encouraging you, you know, you don't have to have it all figured out. Peter didn't have it figured out. He didn't know what was going to happen next, okay? He didn't know to what extent the Lord was going to bless him. But based on his word, because that's what he said, "On the ground of your word," and I want to tell you, that's all we need. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to understand it. Aren't you thankful? But based on your word, I'm going to do it. And he did. He backed up into the deeper water, let down the nets again. And when he had done this, the Bible's real clear in verse 6 that they caught a great number of fish. Now think about this. Based on operating out of the word of God, saying yes to the Lord in his heart, and saying yes to the Lord, and doing what the Lord's word said, he received a miraculous supply of fish in moments that he had tried by self-effort all night long with all of his professional techniques. Didn't amount to anything, but based on God's word and responding, saying yes, and doing it. Boy, that's a good point, saints. Wait a minute. You can say yes at church, but when you go home, do you do it? Do you do the word? But based on what's happening here, the fishermen that had caught anything had nets overflowing with fish. It was a great harvest. And in other words, Jesus walked right into his business, right? Walked right into his business and gave him an amazing oversupply, greatest harvest he ever had of fish. Now, that's a great day. And Jesus has great days for us planned. John chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, after this, Jesus went to the farther side of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd was following him because they had seen the signs. They had seen the Lord do miracles. The Bible says in verse 2, he continually performed those miracles upon those who were sick. In other words, this was a normal activity of Jesus. I know we see it as rare, but I want to tell you, it's normal around Jesus. That's the way it was. Jesus hasn't changed. I want to tell you, take a fresh look at Jesus in the Word. And Jesus walked up the mountainside and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the Feast of the Jews, was approaching. Jesus looked up, and seeing that a vast multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that all these people may eat?" And he said this, verse 6 says that he said this to prove him. In other words, he was setting the stage for a test, for a miracle. All right? And, you know, there's opportunities that come for us to believe God. And that's what this was. Okay? The Lord put it out there. And he puts it out there for us. Opportunities for us to believe him for his best. Boy, that's a good thought right there. And because verse 6 says, for he well knew. In other words, he had already heard from Father what the plan of the day was and what the Lord had, what Father had in mind for these precious people. So Jesus already knew. And so he was putting it out to the disciples about how we're going to approach this. In other words, are we going to approach this with man's wisdom or with depending on God? That's good. That's important for us because we face that every day. And Philip answered him, Lord, 200 pennies, $40 worth of bread is not enough for everyone to even receive a bite. Okay, so I guess Philip pretty well knew what they had in their wallet already. And he said, whatever we have is not enough. And another one of his disciples, Andrew, this was Simon Peter's brother in verse 8, said to him, there is a little boy here. We found a little boy who has with him 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But again, he said, but what are they amongst all these people, thousands of people? And Jesus said, make all the people recline and sit down. And now the ground of pasture was covered with thick grass at the spot. So the men threw themselves down. It's about 5,000 men. And of course, we know and suppose that there was women and children present too. And some of the Bible experts believe that there could have been 15, 20,000 people here. And so this was not a small group to feed for lunch. And all they had was one boy's lunch. That was enough to feed a boy, not 15, 20,000 people. And but Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to the reclining people. And so also he did with the fish as much as they wanted. Now, when you catch the picture of this happening, Jesus takes the little boy's lunch and other version describe how that they, you know, they took and they had with their robe they would carry, and Jesus took the little boy's lunch and I believe he put it there. And the Bible's real clear that he thanked God. That's what he did. He didn't beg. He already knew what Father had in mind. And so he just thanked God publicly for what he was doing. And he practiced receiving. And so he I believe, had the disciples reach in and grab portions of food to put in their robe to carry like a basket. And so all of them filled up their robe out of his, and they went and distributed the food. And I really believe that when they ran low handing out the food, and I wish I could have been there. It's been great video to see the disciples walking down the lane there of people, and people reaching in and grabbing them fish tacos is what I call them. Some of the best fish tacos because they came right out of heaven, right? And so they were the best fish tacos anybody had ever eaten. But as he ran low, would they do? This was the lesson of the bread. They would go back to Jesus for resupply because he's the great I am. He's the more than enough. And so as they would minister the fish tacos to thousands of people and run low, they'd come back to Jesus because he's the continual supply. Do you see the lesson of the bread? That's important for us to catch this, because the very same Jesus that was their continual supply on that day for fish tacos, he's the same Jesus we have. And he is the ever-loving great I Am. He doesn't love those people more than he loves us. Okay? We're his sons and daughters. We're a part of his flock. And so it's with great joy that he loves to give. And he loves to love on his people. I see this as a great joyful event. Can you imagine? The disciples catching the momentum of what God was doing and multiplying the fish tacos. And I think it was a great celebration of joy. And the Bible says that they ate all they wanted. In other words, it was all you could eat. Well, when they had had enough, he said to his disciples, "Gather up now the fragments, the broken pieces that are left over, so that nothing is lost or wasted." And so, accordingly, they gathered them up. And get this now, they ended up with more than what they started with. Because each one of the disciples had a basket with fish tacos leftovers. And those who had eaten the five barley loaves, it was so exciting, such a great miracle. So multitudes were fed with a little boy's lunch of five loaves and two fish. They were multiplied in the hands of Jesus, and that's what happens today. You know what Jesus is asking for? He's not asking for you to provide a Walmart truck for your provision. You know, if they had brought up a Walmart big truck full of groceries, it wouldn't have been enough for 5,000, 15,000, 20,000 people. And so, but what do you have? What's in your heart? What's in your hand? What do you have in your possession? And what he's saying is that let's be like a little child and let's give what we have to the Lord. And when we surrender and submit to the Lord what we have, the Lord's the one that does the multiplying. We like to call it around here, we like to call it the kingdom math, or God's multiplication math. And because it's so exciting, because Jesus can take little, the little we are and the little we have, and he can multiply it into more than enough, because he is the great I Am, and he is more than enough. And all the saints said, amen. All right. And so where there seemed to be, and you know what he was trying to teach the disciples about the lesson of the bread is that he is the kingdom factor. Jesus is the kingdom factor. And to whatever need we have, it's not just fish tacos, okay? Whenever there seemed to be a lack of health and wholeness, Jesus brought abundant health. Now, this was a way of custom. This was a way of practice. This was his norm wherever he went. He ministered healing and health and deliverance. People that were addicted, that were under the influence of Satan, that were demonized, he set people free and he came to heal. And when there seemed to be life in danger in a storm, life and danger in a storm that was threatening their life, you know what Jesus was? Jesus was their lifeboat. I mean, Jesus was their Savior. He brought peace to every storm. Now, see, that's a beautiful picture. So it doesn't matter what the name of the need is. The answer is still the same. He's the great I Am. He's the more than enough supply. But one of the keys about the ministry of the bread, or the lesson of the bread, that the disciples actually forgot, okay, because the Bible says that their heart was hardened about it and they forgot, is the fact that Jesus loves to interact with us. He loves to interact with our faith, with our confidence in him, with us trusting him and depending on him and not ourselves or not our self-effort. You see, that's the lesson. And so that's a key to whatever need we have, whether it's emotional, where's a lot of that today, whether it's an emotional mountain or whether it's an emotional strategic battle going on, whether it's depression or whether it's health, or whether it's finances. I mean, there's all kind of pictures in this. Whether it's an addiction, whether it's from the dark side, it's demonic in some form. Jesus is our victory. And he's the more than enough supply. And what he loves is our interaction. Do you get this? He loves to interact with us. And he loves to do it with us. Not just for us, but with us. And he wants our interaction in this. And so here's the beautiful part. You and I are in Christ. That's the way the New Testament puts it. We're in Christ, and the Bible says we're clothed in His righteousness. In other words, if I were to put on a robe, a purple robe, that would be like a picture today of His robe of righteousness. It's not based on our report card, on our goodness, right? It's based on His. That's how we qualify, is because of what Jesus has done. And because of what Jesus did at the cross, I want to put it like this, and I know it doesn't quite sound right, but stay with me. We get not what we deserve, we get what He deserves. Isn't that beautiful? I want to tell you, that's what grace is, and that's what forgiveness is. And so I know that Tim Hall, in his own effort, and his own report card, and his own goodness, I don't qualify for anything from God. I don't. You don't either. But I want to tell you, because of Jesus, the Bible says that we are joint heirs with Him. We're the righteousness of God in Christ, which means with the payment that Jesus made on the cross, and because of His blood, when Father looks at us, He sees the righteousness of His Son on us and in us. That is great news. All right. And so based on what Jesus has done, and based on the truth that we're a joint heir with Jesus, we get what Jesus deserves in this life, not just in heaven, but in this life. Now, boy, that's so exciting. And so I know there's a curse from sin, and the Bible talks about that. But the Bible also says that Jesus became the curse on the tree for us. He took our curse. And so on the cross, if you can picture this, He took all the curses from Adam's sin that's in us, in our DNA, and it was poured upon Him. And He took in the sin of all mankind, and He paid the price. He suffered, He bled, He was tortured, He was punished. He took the payment for our sin. And that's why that the shortage mindset that's normal to the world should be real subnormal for us, because Jesus paid for all of our blessings, not just in heaven, but on this earth. And I just love that truth. And so the shortage mindset lifestyle of the world is not the inheritance of God's well-loved children. And you got to view yourself this way. You're not just a regular human on earth. You're a child of God, a well-beloved. And then what that means is well-loved. You are a supernaturally loved child of God. And He's a great Father. He's a great, great Father. That's what Jesus came to show us, because religion had messed it up. Religion said that, God was mean, and that you had to do a bunch of perfect works in order to earn or to measure up to please God. Jesus came and settled all that with a new covenant. Okay, we have a better covenant. We have better promises. We have a better relationship with God because Jesus paid for it. And the way we come into that position is by faith, by believing, by saying yes to God, submitting and surrendering to God, and we get the benefits of what Jesus paid for. I want to tell you, that is such a great deal. It almost sounds too good to be true, but that's what gospel means. It's that it's a great supreme news. And He's a great, great Father. And here it is. I want you to get this, because you have to see this with your picture on it, like your driver's license or something. You have to, your ID, you have to see it with your picture on it. He loves to love you too much. He's the prodigal Father. He loves to love us too much. And Jesus is a great, great shepherd. And because He's a great shepherd, we shall not want. That's what Psalm 23:1. He's our shepherd. We shall not want. We shall not lack in any area. And the rest of the 23rd Psalm goes on to describe how He provides and protects and even chases us down with blessing every day. I just love Him. Don't you love Him? And so our inheritance that we have in Christ is supposed to show up in this world in our life. I hope that's clear. It's supposed to be our lifestyle, that God's a more than enough supply. And so it doesn't mean, let me be clear, it doesn't mean that we don't ever have a need, because we are in a fallen world. We have an enemy out here that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we do have needs. Crisis comes. Matter of fact, Jesus described that life in this world is full of troubles and distress. Well, I heard a loud amen come across the camera right there. And so that's real journey. But what's greater than human fact is spiritual reality. And so when we do have a need, or we do have a crisis, or we do are attacked in some certain way, we have a great shepherd. And by grace, because it's already been paid for, we can rely on and trust in and depend on the Lord, and we can receive victory. We can receive overcoming. His grace is way more than enough. It's super abounding grace to provide, to rescue, to recover, to restore. Aren't you glad he's a God of restoration? And so we're not cut off from the supply. Because I'm telling you, God doesn't cut off the supply. And I know that there are Christians that will say things like, well, God just didn't do it for me, or God hasn't provided, or God didn't rescue me. Let me back up and say this. God has. That's what he did through Jesus. Now, we don't always receive. You see, it's not that God cut off the supply. We cut off the supply. And sometimes we don't do it intentionally. It's lack of knowledge sometimes. That's why we have to be a people of the Word. We have to be a people seeking God. We have to be a people listening to the Lord. We have to follow our shepherd closely. Because sometimes, well, the Bible says we're destroyed. We miss. We foul up. We're in a mess because of lack of knowledge. Because we don't know. This is why we got to be people of the truth. This is why we got to be students of the Word of God. And but lack of knowledge. Another thing that hinders us from receiving from God. You see, God doesn't cut off the faucet. We do. Ever since Jesus was resurrected, Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. In other words, it's just a beautiful presentation that it's on full speed. We're in that great season of grace. It's on full speed. We're the ones not receiving. We got to learn how to receive. We need to believe. And so unbelief is a problem, all right? And I want to tell you, we're going to address that in the future. But unbelief's a problem. Self-condemnation is a big one. Because I want to tell you, it's the enemy's lie that comes along and sneaks and whispers in your ear that you're not good enough, that you've messed up too bad, God's mad at you, God's sad at you, okay? And God don't want to hear from you, and you don't deserve. You see, all that's a lie from the enemy. Because the Bible is real clear. There is therefore now, because of what Jesus has done, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that believe. Now, I know condemnation comes, and sometimes we welcome it in, but that's something that we do because of the enemy's lie. We choose to believe what the enemy's saying versus what God says. Because God says we're the righteousness of God in Christ. God says that we're forgiven. Okay? God says we're so forgiven that Jesus is not going to come back and die on the cross every time you sin. I want to tell you, his blood was more than enough, okay, for whatever sin you've done. And so the enemy comes and condemns you and says, you've done a bad one that's so bad that God will never use you. He'll never smile at you. That is just a lie. As they say where I'm from, that's a bald-faced lie. All right? That's not true. And you know what? Instead of agreeing with what the enemy is saying, we need to agree with what God says and put our allegiance with that. We need to start thinking on what God said, give our heart allegiance to what God says, speak in what God says, because Jesus paid for us to be free from condemnation. Every moment of rejection you've ever given to God, Jesus paid for. Well, I hope that sinks in, because that ought to give you hope. I want to tell you, when God says you're forgiven, and he says, I take your sins and throw them into the depths of the sea, and I remember them no more, he's speaking truth. When he said, I take your sins and throw them as far as the east is from the west, he says, I remember them no more. I actually had a pastor confront me one time and say, you know, he really doesn't forget them. No, he really does. And, you know, because that's what Bible says, and God doesn't lie. He can't lie. And, you know, so, you know, I had to tell this pastor, just because I can't explain it, and just because you don't understand it, doesn't mean it's not true. What God says is true. Let our thoughts, our minds, our experiences be a lie, and God be true. All right? And so God wants his best for you. If your heart is not confident before God, because this is a place of receiving, it's called the rest that the New Testament presents, us resting in Him, is coming to the place in your heart where your heart's confidence in God, your heart's confident before God. If not, you put your heart in a difficult position because it's kind of compromising. And, you know, it begins to limit God because there's a tug of war on the inside of you. And I like to kind of explain it like it's a counterbalance to your faith. And so we got to deal with condemnation. It's a lie. We renounce that. We say and believe what God says. And the lack of knowledge, we've got to continue to renew our mind. And that's really the key with unbelief, is to focus on the loving kindness and the faithfulness of God. That's what Sarah did, you know, in order for her to receive restoration in her body and to receive the gift of a son. She focused on that God was faithful. So when we focus on the faithfulness of God, it causes unbelief to become weak, and it causes unbelief to faint. I think that's a good word, to just fade away, all right? And so it's very, very important that we renew our mind. It makes it hard to receive when our heart's not at rest, when our heart's not in a position of believing. That's something we can do, all right? That's not something to blame God for. That's our part, all right? God wants His best for you. And I just want to tell you, I want God's best for you. And He's given you this birthright as a joint heir with Him for His size capacity. Boy, man, that's a good thought. He wants you to receive big. Not too long ago, I was getting my beautiful blonde's car washed, and I'm sitting outside on the little bench, and I'm waiting for the guys to finish cleaning up the car. And I look across the street, and there's a big truck that's backed up to a dock, and he begins to unload. And I'm looking at this big dock and big truck, big dock, and he's unloading an amazing supply of stuff that's going into this restaurant. And I just see a picture. It's like the Lord whispered to me, how big is your window? Because what He wants to do, according to Scripture, is that the windows of heaven are open to pour out on upon us a blessing that we cannot even store, that it's so big. And so my question is, how big is your window? You see, I think that with a lot of Christians, our window from God is a picture of a little mail slot in the door. I lived at a home one time where the mailbox was just a mail slot in the door, and it was just a little slot, and the mail would come through and fall on the floor. I think that's the mindset of a lot of Christians about the blessing of God or the heart of God for them. And I just want to say to you that the heart of a great, great Father for you is much bigger than a mail slot. As a matter of fact, I got a new window in my spirit that day when I saw that big dock window, okay, that the big truck and big supply was coming. I want to tell you, let that be you, because that's how much God loves you. Did you know that God doesn't love anyone else? God doesn't love the Apostle Paul more than He loves you? Do you see that? I want to tell you, let that sink deep into your spirit, because He wants you to receive big. And you know what? This brings Him honor and glory. This testimony is like a billboard to the world, which is what our lives are supposed to be. We're supposed to be living epistles. This is a testimony to the world about how big your God is, how much He cares, and how much He loves. Jesus is a need meter. No, you might ought to write that down somewhere. Jesus is our need meter. This is something He delights in doing. I know in some circles, even in Christian circles, that, you know, when they teach about prayer, that they teach that we got to beg God. And the prayers sound like begging and pleading and trying to talk God into something. Trying to twist His arm, so to speak, to do something for... No. And Jesus told about prayer, and all of His examples about prayer show that He's a great, great Father, and He's much more willing and desirous to meet our needs and to love on us and to bless us and to give us more than enough supply. He's our need meter. And get this now, when He meets our need, He doesn't frown in doing it. Okay? He doesn't grunt in doing it. He rejoices in giving to us, and that's why He really loves a cheerful giver, because that's what He is. That's like Him. That's God-like. And he's a joyful, cheerful giver, and that's his heart for you. Jesus is the miracle and breakthrough factor in our journey. He's the Jesus factor. That's the difference. And he's our Psalm 23 personal shepherd. I want to just read to you the last verse in Psalm 23. Let this sink down into your heart. Surely, or only goodness, and surely, surely, means for sure, for sure, for sure. Surely, only goodness and mercy and unfailing love. It didn't say anything bad. You know, a lot of people have the mindset, well, God's going to whip me. No, God's already forgiven you. Okay, you've already been forgiven. There's nothing to whip you about, even your disobedience. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Let it be settled in your heart today. God loves you completely. He's not mad at you. Listen to me. He's not sad at you. He loves you. Only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. Now that word follow is it's like a hunting term where the hounds, my dad, when I was a youngin' there in East Texas, raised beagles, and he'd have a pack of beagles, you know, and it was rabbit hunting. He would chase rabbits, and those swamp rabbits would run a circle, and I can remember the old timers. Well, they were old to me then. Right now, they were pretty young at that stage. But I could hear the old-timers say, well, that's pot liquor right now. I recognize, oh, he's hot on the trail. Oh, that's Little Lady right there. Oh, that's Beagle. Now, they were all Beagles, but his name was Beagle. And that's Ho-Shan. Don't know how she got her name. But he could recognize the hounds, and they were chasing that rabbit, and they'd bring that rabbit, that swamp rabbit, would run in a circle. Hey, that's the picture, is that the Lord says, I will follow you. Hey, get this now. He's so assertive in wanting to love us. This is what he's saying. I will follow you all the days of your life. I will chase you down like hunting hounds. I will chase you down to bless you with my goodness, my mercy, and my unfailing love. Does that sound like we need to beg him? Does that sound like we need to talk him into something? No, no, no. Jesus is the perfect expression of God, and he came. For God so loved the world. Before Jesus came, God so loved the world. But the beautiful expression, he came and gave of himself so we could know him and so we could be loved and blessed and held and just surrounded with his protection and his provision like he wants to be a great, great father to us. That's what he wants to do. And the rest of verse 6 says, and I'll enjoy the presence of the Lord all the days of my life. Through the length of my days, I'm going to enjoy in the house of the Lord. I'm going to enjoy his presence. And his presence is going to be my dwelling place. I want to tell you, that sounds, you know what he wants? He wants to be with you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to fellowship with him and to enjoy him. This is Christian life. It's relationship. And out of relationship comes everything that he wants to do and loves to do in you and through you. So one of my great passions is this, is to help people understand how loving Father is. How great he is. And one of the things I want people to know is how personal Jesus is. He's a very, very personal shepherd. Let him be personal. I got to say it. I don't mean any condemnation because, you know, we don't minister condemnation. But you're just as close to Jesus as you will let him be. You're just as close to Jesus as you want to be. We can rest and receive all Jesus died to purchase us. And let me rush to say, this is why we need to be in church. This is why you need to be a seeker. This is why you need to be in the Word and become a disciple. Because we don't even know. I'm saying it. We don't even know what all he paid for yet. But this is a part of the exciting journey of discovery that we have in knowing Jesus, is that we get to know him better and better. We get to know his love deeper and deeper, and we get to have revelation of what all he did pay for the abundant life that he paid for. He paid for everlasting life. He paid for abundant life. Same price as it is in heaven, so shall it be on earth. That's his desire. Don't you love him for that? And this means that it's for you. I want to say that you may have heard me say this already, but I want to make it clear. This is his promises have your name on it. You just don't know it. And this is part of relationship, because we become convinced and confident in how much he loves us. And we get revelation because the Holy Spirit will reveal it to us personally. This is not just for super saints. There's really no such thing. This is for you. Every Bible boy and gospel girl, this is for you. And he's calling your name. I get this little picture of the grandkids because I love to see them at Christmas. You know, the little helper calls out their name. And they get so excited because here's a present that's got their name on it. They know it's for them. And they don't have to follow a book of instructions on how to open it. Do you know what I mean? Because they're enthusiastic. That's what the Lord wants to see with us as a little child. Not childish, but childlike. We're to receive the promises that Jesus has already paid for, already been gifted for us. And he wants us to see them with our name on it. He's calling your name. He's put your name on it. You need to hear the Lord whisper your name. Yes, Jesus loves me because the Bible tells me so, but you need to hear him say your name personally, that he loves you, and that these promises that Jesus paid for have your name. They're for you. His love brings us into this mindset position of receiving. Not lack, but receiving. Not earning, not deserving, just resting in his love and trusting in his promises. He loves it when that happens. You know, those little ones at Christmas, they don't have to do anything to get those presents but receive. And he brings us into receiving. You know, that's part of what God wants to do with you, is to get you out of the self-effort mindset that's invaded a lot of Christianity, a lot of churches, the self-effort that we're going to earn it, we're going to make it happen. He wants to get us completely off of that and come to the place where we humble ourselves before him, depend on him, and we practice receiving. You see, Christians are not great achievers, we're great receivers. Let's say an amen to that one. And he wants us to know how blessed he is to bless us. So don't be conformed to the world mindset of shortage. Be transformed. Be renewed. This is part of renewing your mind. You may have to go back over this. This may be new news to you. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So listen to it as much as you need to for this to sink in and to soak into your heart. And he wants us to renew his mind, renew our minds through his word, that we're receivers, not achievers. God's supply is constant. It's continual. It's not been cut off. It's abundant. It's more than enough. Jesus is more than enough. Our part is to learn how to receive. And so let his love transform you. I'm telling you, let it be a priority to have love life with Jesus. Would you just tell him right now, today, would you just tell him, Lord, I want to love you back. I want to know how much you love me. And I want to love you back. Lord, help me. I want to tell you, when you pray that prayer, you're praying the will of God. You're praying the very heart of God and the desire of God. And the Bible says, when we pray his will, we get it. And so I want to tell you, simple prayer. But would you ask the Lord to lead you into love life with him? Would you ask the Lord to reveal himself to you so you could know him as a personal shepherd? And I want to tell you, you get in his word, and I want to tell you what happens. He causes the word to lighten up, to be alive. It's like there's a light behind it. It's like, you know, what happens when you run a highlighter across a sentence. It just brightens up. That's what the word of God will be to you when you seek to know him and seek to enjoy him in the word, and just ask him, Lord, show yourself to me in your word. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes, he's the helper to help you see Jesus in the word. And when you see Jesus in the word, it renews your mind. It reprograms this computer. It's got to be reprogrammed, and it won't happen without the word. That's why we promote the word of God. And so he wants you to know his will. And his will for you is beautiful. It's greater than you can imagine. Okay? His desire for you is bigger than your dreams. Can I say this? And I'll just end on this today. His dreams for you are bigger than your dreams. And He has your best interest in mind. I bless you today in the name of Jesus. Thanks for joining us. And remember, let's tune in Wednesday night and on the 13th. And I want you to get to hear Pastor Don Shipley. You're going to be so blessed by this man of wisdom. All right? And I bless you today. Thank you. Let's do this again next week, same time, same channel. Okay? God bless you today.